Well, I feel like I need to sneak up to the pulpit. I had five people, literally. First five people shook my hand. First thing they said, "Where's Esther?" I, of course, let your pastor know. I figured, I could brace everything, and he'd be aware. But he didn't read it right, so. It's a lot worse on me when she ain't with me than it is anybody else. I mean, I got to figure out what to wear. How to get there. I mean, contrary to folks' opinion, she don't put my sermons together. But she does have an opinion on all of them, and that helps, I guess you'd say. I was in a meeting in Florida. I called ahead. I said, "I'll be down if it is. Esther ain't coming." I got there. One of the deacons said, "Well, we found out you wasn't coming," and said, "We had a vote on whether to have the meeting or not." It said, "I want to encourage you. You won by one vote." So we had the meeting. We'll just see what comes out of it without her. But we appreciate the privilege of being able to come this way and to share with you that which the Lord has laid on our hearts. Amen. And we come praying and seeking the face of the Lord. Yes. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Romans and chapter number 7. You know, I get up on mornings like this when she ain't here, and I have to call her when I get ready. I said, "What color socks do I wear with that blue suit?" She said, "Blue." I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "Well, where am I going to wear the green suit?" She said, "Green socks." So I just get, in other words, she does everything. She does so much, I said that if anything happened to her, I'm turning Mormon. They said, "Why?" I said, "It'll take five women to do what she does." I do brush my own teeth. But she buys the toothpaste, so that's the way that is. I come to you this morning with a word, a thought. I'm not going to call it a sermon. I ain't got no points. It won't outline. But I do have a thought on my heart that I want to emphasize to you. I don't know if you've ever read something that was so plain and so gripping as to who you are and where you're at that point in time. You could identify with what was being said. You felt like, "Well, that's me." Or maybe you've heard someone say something, make a statement, and it just sort of gripped your heart. And you knew that you would never forget that. It was almost as if it was so much you could have said it. That's what I want to preach on this morning. I feel like, here's my title, I feel like I could have said that. There are only a few times now, and this is of late, how it has come to me, and I'll tell you in the end how, of which I have read things in the Scriptures. And I believe the whole Bible. I preach the Bible as the Lord leads me in different texts and things. But I have found five things that are so much me, I almost feel like I could have said it. I didn't say it. The Holy Ghost give it to these men. Three of them belongs to the Apostle Paul and his I Ams. But yet when I read them, it is so much in the depths of my soul, I find myself feeling like I could have said that. The first one is in chapter 7 and verse number 24. It is here that Paul expresses himself. in a very deep emotional way. He opens it up and he says, oh, this is a word that prefaces something that you're about to say that has great desperation to it. It has great exasperation to it. It is something that is deep within you that you have to say. And it happens to be that he is remarking concerning himself. And it's almost like he bows his head and he takes a deep breath. He's breathing it out to God. And here it is, this great apostle of the grace of God says concerning himself, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall be able to deliver me from this body of death? I don't know about you, but I feel like I could have said that. If there ever was me found in a verse, it is in this verse. Thinking of who I was when God came to me and saved me, how wretched. Paul expresses in other places concerning himself. He said in one place, I was the chiefest of sinners. He said, I was the least of the apostles. He said, have no confidence in the flesh. This is in reference to, in this text, himself. Oh, wretched man that I am. But not only in reference to what I was when he saved me, but may I say to you sadly, in reference as to what I have been since he saved me. When I think of the arrogance, when I think of the pride, when I think of the envy, when I think of the jealousy, when I think of the things that I should have done that I didn't do and the things that I did that I shouldn't have done, when I think of my wants and my desires and my longings many times, when I think of my journey with the Lord and so much failure, even in these 56 years of salvation, I yet look at myself and say, oh, wretched man that I am. A sense that Paul has here of the unworthiness. I believe that once the spirit of repentance takes hold in your heart, it will always be there. You will never feel as though that you deserve all that God has done for you. How unworthy each time I step into the church, I do feel as though that I am the least of the saints that are there. And when I stand behind this sacred desk, I feel that sense of humility to be able to open God's perfect, pure word and preach it to his family and to his children. I must express to you, oh, wretched man that I am. And when I think of the potential of what I would be and could be in the wickedness of the heart that no man knows, I must confess, as Paul did, and say very openly and breathe it deep. And haven't we, even since we've been saved, so many times turned our hearts toward heaven and said, oh God, here I am again, oh wretched man that I am. Can I say to you, that is a revelation from heaven. The only way Paul could know his personal wretchedness, the only way I can know my personal wretchedness, and the only way you could know your personal wretchedness is God, through the Holy Ghost and His Word, must show you your wretchedness. I'm thinking about Daniel when he has that revelation from heaven. And he says, in that point in time, my comeliness was turned into corruption. He said, I really wasn't the saint that I thought that I was when I got into God's presence. It was Isaiah that saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. There are none here this morning because of your perfections. Oh, if you ever see yourself just like you really are. I speak for myself, though. I speak for myself. I say, oh, Paul, you were thinking of me when you wrote that. Oh, 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 wretched man that I am. You say, well, now, preacher, you're painting a pretty bad picture of yourself. It's almost like you're not very good. You're pretty bad. Well, let me clarify that, lest you get, you know, the wrong thought. Oh, wretched man that I am! I don't know that I can emphasize that too much. But I could say that. I could say that. But then I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. You won't have to turn. Paul moves from one extreme to the other. He uses that I am, and he said, oh, wretched man that I am, a revelation from heaven. Putting us exactly where we are as far as this flesh is concerned. But then out of the same mouth, from the same heart, comes this expression, oh, wretched man that I am, but I am what I am by the grace of God. The I am of wretchedness does not diminish the I am of the grace of God. How that God in His grace can take the wretched and work in him and through him. I want to say to you, I feel like I could have said that, that I am, if I'm anything, I am. Front and back. Top to bottom, inside and out. If there's anything in me good for the kingdom of God, it was God in His grace that saved me and sustained me and strengthened me and brought me to where I am. There is no boasting in me. We are each here, wretched souls, by the grace of God. And can you not look back and see the many times, as the psalmist said, I had almost well nigh slipped. Times of which it seemed as though you were going to fall or step off the precipice, when maybe at that point you didn't even know it. But yet God's grace intervened and delivered you. If you are here this morning, and I can tell you are here by the grace of God. I have thought of late, and I tremble thinking of it. I've preached enough here for you to know my past. Raised in a drunkard's home without a mama. Left when I was a year and a half old. He never remarried. I was the youngest of nine. We were raised in that total environment of drinking and cursing and and bars and things like that. His kids drug in and out of that environment. The worst of the worst had been planted in me on every level. Zero, zero teachings of any kind of morality. And God, by His grace, saved me after hearing the gospel at 14 years old. I buried most of my family because of alcohol, because of that raising and that past. But by His grace, He saved me. But yet in those early days of salvation, having had no foundation, having had no teaching and instruction of the Word of God, just now being introduced to the kingdom of heaven, there were things that I look back on and I could see that left to myself, my journey would have ended right there. I would have fallen, so to speak, off the wagon. And I would not be here. I mean, things that I could, things that I intended on doing, things that I wanted to do, that before I could do them, God shut them down. It wasn't that I wouldn't do them. I couldn't do them. God moved it out of the way. Which leads me to say what Paul said. I am what I am by the grace of God. From pillar to post, everything in His grace. Now this is just a little thought. This also is a revelation. Your wretchedness has to be shown to you by the Spirit of God, and His grace must be brought to you by the Word of God. But Paul has another I am that I come across, that as I look at it and meditate on it, I feel as though that I could have said. I feel like I could have said, oh, wretched man that I am. I feel like I could have said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Everything that I have by the grace of God. Everything that I possess by the grace of God. I am what I am, but by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But he says a couple of times, one in Romans 1:14, Paul thinking about all that had been invested in him. That's what the book of Romans is about, the truths and doctrines of salvation, justification, propitiation, redemption, grace, faith, adoption. It is in this book that he gives reference to all the saints that aided him from basically his time of salvation on up to this point. He talks about that which has made him who he is. Not only on the divine level, but on the human level. He said, no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself. In other words, I wouldn't be me if it were not for somebody like you. Somebody that preached to me. Somebody that prayed for me. Somebody that gave me my first Bible, second Bible, third Bible, fourth Bible, fifth Bible. Somebody that gave to me. Somebody that taught me. Somebody that loved me. Someone that gave me opportunity to do what God had called me to do. I was not, as I say to you, a part of that environment. I went into that little old storefront church. I had not been there long. And I'm going to tell you, those old hymns gripped my heart. And I didn't want to steal anything. I was done with that. So I asked a pastor if I could take a songbook home. And I'd listen to those songs at church, and my sister-in-law, whom I lived with, her and my brother at that time, she said to me, what you didn't realize was, is me and Joe had to listen to you sing till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning upstairs. And I would sing those songs, and it wasn't long until somebody said, well, why don't you sing in the choir? That's a big deal to me. I'm going to tell you, me singing in the choir? And so I did. Began to delve into the Word of God, and finally somebody said, why don't you teach the young people? I said, me teach the young people. And then God moved on my heart to preach, and they said, well, why don't you just go ahead and let go and preach for us? And I did. Every opportunity I've ever had, God's people gave it to me. And even to this hour, every church I go into and come out of, there will be numbers of people that will take my hand and say, preacher, you're on my heart, you and Esther are on my heart, and we pray for you daily. What I realize is that all of this, the Spirit of God, the cross, the Son of God, the Heavenly Father that hears our prayers, the church and the saints of God, every bit of this has been invested in us. Not just simply to retain, not just so we could possess it, but it is so that we could give it back on certain levels. And that's where he said, not only, oh, wretched man that I am, not only I am what I am by the grace of God, but he uses this phrase, he said, I am a debtor. And I'm going to tell you something. If there's anybody that ever owed spiritually, I owe. Now, I understand I can't pay for my salvation. It's already paid for. But yet at the same time, Paul was realizing. He said, I'm a debtor to the Jew. I'm a debtor to the Gentile. I am a debtor to the Greeks. I'm a debtor to the barbarians. He said, I feel like because what God has done for me, that I need to do something for others. I need to take this great well of spiritual blessings from God, and I need to make sure that I have let it flow like a river through me to someone else. I am a debtor to pray for others as they pray for me. I am a debtor to love others as they have loved me. I am a debtor to give to others as it has been given to me. On every level. Every level. Someone said to me just a week or so ago, I don't believe I could travel as much as you do and go in and stay on the road and in all this traffic and things of that nature. And my answer, because this is on my heart, my answer is, well, I owe so much, I have to keep going. The only reason why I left my wife in Alabama this morning, I have to use GPS to get anywhere I'm going. She is my GPS. And the only reason why I left her down there is because I owe too much not to come and give you what God has given me. We owe too much not to share this gospel. We owe too much not to give as has been given to us. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. But I am what I am by the grace of God. I am a debtor. I want to say to Paul, I feel like I could have said that. It is so much me. It expresses my heart. A couple of things also that I feel like I could have said. I want to leap to David. He's on his bed of affliction. He's only lives to be as old as I am right now, 70. Isn't that amazing? I know y'all don't believe that. I just made the promise. You say, well, what's the promise? It is 70. Hallelujah. I asked my wife, I said, now that I have matured, should I present myself different to the congregation? She said, probably. She said, too much humor. You put too much, and not a lot of jokes. And don't try to act smart or intelligent. I said, well, what do you want me to do? She said, just be yourself. Well, I don't know what that meant. But I'm thinking about David when he made or spoke those words in Psalm 37. He said, I once was young. Now I want you to get this. These are revelations that God has to show them to you. He said, I once was young, but now I am old. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now this one verse that David gives us is the reason that this thought is on my heart. I have used what David said. I have preached what David said. I do believe what David said. He said it out of his own experience with the Lord. And he could say it. Because he was young, when he is writing this, he is old. And then he puts that amendment to it and says, I have yet. I was young, now I am old. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Now, I preached that on David's account, and I believe it. But I couldn't say that at 20. I hadn't been down the road long enough to say that. I'm talking about out of my own experience. It wasn't something I could say at 30 or 40 or 50. I didn't feel like I could say it at 60. But let me tell you something. When I got David's age, I said, oh, Dave, I feel like I could have said that. Listen to me, young people here this morning. I could have said it because all David wrote it is inspired. But I'm going to tell you, it fits me to a T. I once was young, but now I am. I don't say old. I'm going to change it a little bit. I am older. You can get older without getting old. I once was young, but now I'm old. But listen to me. I'm telling you this out of my experience. I'm telling you this out of my heart. I can say this. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. My favorite folks since the day I got saved, as far as the church is concerned, I don't know why, has been elderly people. I hooked up with them at 14 years old. I mean, I just felt like there was so much wisdom there. They'd been down the road so far, they could say something to my heart, just joined to them. I'll never forget the little old storefront church. And Sister Gray was her name. She was in her 80s, wore one of those buns, you know, with hair on top. I never forget on that Sunday morning in the midst of the singing, she got up and got to skipping down the aisle and in front, shouting. Well, I'd never seen that. I mean, it was loud in the bars and all the music, but I figured you were, when you went to church, you tried to be, you know, real quiet and refined and all that other stuff. And when she got to skipping around there and shouting, I turned around and I said, is that legal? They said, yeah, if the Holy Ghost is on it. I said, I want some of that. Hallelujah. I love all of God's people. I love children. I love my grandchildren. I love them, my elderly saints. Because they can say something that nobody else can say because they've been there. And it is here this morning that I say to you again, greatness. David said, I could have said that. I was once young and now I am older. I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I shared this little thought in the church here a while back, and there was a man sitting on the front seat that was close to 90 years old. And I made this statement. I said, you know, since this come across my heart a few weeks ago, I've tried to think of some saint that I know that's in their 80s and 90s that trusted the Lord when they were younger, and they're very dissatisfied with what the Lord's done for them. And I'm trying to think of one that said to me, you know, preacher, the worst mistake of my life was when I turned it over to Jesus. And while I was doing it, I said, you know, I'm trying to think of one. And I got right in front, I didn't intend to, I just got locked eyes with him, and I said, I'm trying to think of one. He's about 90 years old, he throws his hands up, don't ask me, he said, don't ask me. I said, here I am 70, right there's 90. And if he ain't never found one, I don't know if there is one. Honey, God is good to his people. You'll never go wrong serving the Lord. You'll never go wrong paying your debt. You'll never go wrong recognizing the grace of God. You'll never go wrong realizing how wretched you are and how blessed that he is. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken. Woo. Or a seed begging for bread. And that's one thing for David to say it. And it inspired and it's truth. I preach to this truth. It's true. But it's a little different now. Because I can say that out of my experience. I could have said that. Just a few things you find in the Word of God, you could have said that. But here's the last one. In the book of Mark, you remember the boy that had demon possession, cast himself into the fire, cast himself into the water, would have destroyed him. Jesus comes upon it, the disciples are there, and the man says to him, this is his condition, I've asked the disciples to do something, and they could not do it. And he says to him, he says, Master, would you heal my son? Now you remember this well. And Jesus turned to him and said, do you believe? And his answer was this, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I'm just wondering if you've ever had to say that. So full of faith, and yet at the same time, having the doubt.
Oh my, yes.
It's found in every character of any prominence in the Scripture, whether it's Moses or whether it's John the Baptist or whether it's Elijah. We believe. Do we not believe? Are you not believers? It was found in Abraham, this great father of faith.
Yes.
I have served him for 50, almost 6 years. And I have believed. But oh, how many times I've had to say, oh, but Lord, help thou mine unbelief.
Yes.
It's amazing how the twain can come together in the same place and the same heart. I believe, and I do believe. I am so confident. I do believe. But, oh, God, help thou mine unbelief. I believe I could have said that. Because that's where I've been. I'm going to close in this manner. It would be impossible. I wouldn't want to be in these places in the physical sense, but somehow if I could paint myself in the picture of Paul in prison, writing to the Romans and saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, I know this wouldn't happen, but I'm just imagining that me and Paul know one another, and I'm just there ministering to him, maybe like Timothy. And he's over there writing. And he says, "Brother Dana, I got something I'm going to write to the Romans. I want to run it by you." And I say to him, "Well, go ahead, Paul." He said, "Well, here's what I was thinking." And he takes a deep breath and he says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And at that moment, in that instance, I look into his eyes, watering, and say, "Oh, Paul, that's me. I'm with you. I can't imagine that about you, but oh, wretched man that I am." And then I'd like to be in with him when he's writing to the Corinthians. He said, I got something I want to write to the Corinthians, kind of personal, and I hope this won't bother you, but I want to write this. Brother Dana, I want to write this. "I am, but I am what I am by the grace of God." I said, "Woo, Paul." That's me. That's me. I feel like I could have said that. "Paul, you're not long for this world, but don't worry about it. I'll say that for you. I'll say that for you." And I'd like to have been there at the bedside of David just before he passed out of this world. He said, "Brother Dana, I got something for you. I'm going to write it down." "What is it, Dave?" He said, "I was once young, I'm now old. I've yet to see the righteous forsaken or saved." And I want to say to him, "David, I'm going to say that for you." Aren't you glad for those parts of the Word of God that become yours because they are yours? Because that's who you are and what you've gone through. Let us this morning take a moment in this place, in this meeting, and thank God for the revelations he gives us of who we are, but yet at the same time, the revelations of who he is.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So that we can say some things that'll help somebody else, because that's where we've been and who we are. And that's why when you read the Word of God, it will stick to you in places that it doesn't stick to somebody else, because you've been there. And God will speak that Word through you, and it will touch somebody else's heart. Just a thought. I could have said that. Let's stand. Be a good time to talk to the Lord about your wretchedness. It'd be a good time to talk to him about his grace. It'd be a good time to talk to him about the struggles of belief and doubt. It'd be a good time. A good time to thank him. That in the midst of all of it, you can say, God has been good. I believe, Lord. Help thou mine unbelief. Maybe you're there this morning. Lord, I believe you, but would you help mine unbelief?